We also might get some pushback because if you are a rural attorney and you have your small county on lock, you may not want Dallas attorneys appearing remotely in your jurisdiction. So access to legal aid. So legal aid, Texas Access to Justice Foundation recently did a survey. This data was published at our last Judicial Council meeting. They surveyed their legal aid attorneys statewide. How did you feel about remote proceedings? Are remote proceedings serving legal aid clients? And so what legal aid says was remote proceedings allowed them to take in more cases and assist more clients. Since they are statewide and representing often rural areas, it allowed them to attend more hearings because they could do a hearing in one county in the morning and a hearing in a different county in the afternoon. They surveyed the legal aid attorneys about, did you feel like remote client appointments, remote hearings, were they worse than in-person, fine, just the same, or better? And a significant majority, if you look at their list, they asked about a lot of different types of things. But in every single case, a significant majority said remote participation is at least equally effective and often more effective than in-person. So the takeaway from legal aid's survey of legal aid attorneys was it provides legal aid clients much more access to courts. The clients are more active in their own lawsuits. And importantly, more witnesses were willing to appear voluntarily. So witnesses that didn't have to be subpoenaed, witnesses that were outside the subpoena power of the court, those fact witnesses still were able to participate and the court was able to hear that relevant evidence. Some of the drawbacks identified by legal aid was they said the clients almost always needed training. And I think this is fine. This is true. Clients need training for in-person appearances, right? You talk to your clients about what to wear, how to answer questions, what time to show up, how they behave in court. Just like you do that for your clients for in-person, clients need training on their remote appearances. They identified that two groups that were not as well served by remote were homeless veterans and child clients. And then they noted that exchanging documents and exhibits is time-consuming. I'll pause here, though, to add something that I observed when we were doing remote appearances. So prior to remote appearances, I have a lot of self-represented litigants in my court, maybe more than half. And when self-represented litigants come into court, they pretty much never use documentary evidence because it was always on their phone. So they would say, I've got the text right here. I've got the email right here. I took a video. And I would say, do you have that in a format that you can hand to the court reporter? And they were like, no, it's in my phone. I didn't know I needed to do that. Well, to deal with the logistics of remote proceedings, we were having the litigants email in their exhibits the night before. And it was so funny because what I saw was when self-represented litigants email in their exhibits the night before, they use exhibits. They use emails, they use text, videos. I mean, they're working with evidence like champs, and it was just such a night and day thing. So yes, it is more time-consuming, logistically burdensome, but we hear more relevant facts from litigants. Domestic violence cases. So there was a concern about, is this negatively impacting victims in domestic violence? I'll skip forward a slide. Legal aid wrote a letter to the remote proceedings task force to say, we especially want virtual hearings for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, both for client security and willingness to participate in court proceedings. So if you only do fancy corporate litigation with lawyers on both sides, you might not realize that it's not uncommon to have a family brawl in the hallway in the district court because people get passionate and they bring all the family members, and it can be intimidating for a victim of family violence or sexual violence to stand up in front of a room of strangers with the alleged perpetrator's family members lining the hallway and tell strangers about their personal experiences with the violence that was perpetrated on them, the sexual assault. So oftentimes what you have is the alleged victim clams up. They don't give the facts. Courts are unable to grant the relief that's been requested because purely the evidence is not before them because that victim was shy to stand up in front of strangers and talk about their humiliating experience. So remote proceedings can be safer both to address courthouse security risks. In other words, if someone is acting up in a remote proceeding, I just hit move to waiting room. Whereas if someone acts up in an in-person proceeding, my bailiff has to tackle them to the ground, potentially hurt his back, and then haul them off. It's very disruptive and traumatic for everyone. And then also intimidation. And that's both purposeful intimidation from the other side, as well as just many people rank fear of public speaking as higher than fear of death, right? So we already know people don't like to talk in front of strangers. You address that in voir dire with your panels. This can help people be more comfortable to tell more facts. Child welfare. This is one where I plan to do my child welfare proceedings remotely forever because there has been such a night and day difference about participation. So for years, our legislature has enacted reforms to try to get foster parents present at hearings to provide that information, to try to get relatives, grandparents, dads to attend, and they just weren't. They just weren't doing it in person. They lack transportation. They don't have childcare for their other kids. There are a lot of barriers to their participation in in-person child welfare hearings. Now that we're doing those online, everyone shows up. Dads show up, moms show up, grandparents show up, the foster care providers, the children who are placed in residential treatment centers are present for their hearings. So this has been just, from my perspective, an unmitigated success, and going back to in-person for these hearings would be injustice, in my opinion. As well as, again, you have more witnesses who are able to drop in and participate. And if our goal is to return these children to their parents, this is very important.